may have been recording for the entire time, Antonio.
Oh, great.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I feel absolutely spied on all the time, but no problem.
Do you? Do you have your windows drawn down? Do you have a cone of silence above your head?
No, I don't. And I mean, already Google and other nice guys are already spying on me all the time. So no problem. I hope they enjoy it.
To explain this zero podcast idea that you just threw at me, actually before I was recording.
Well, that's simple, and I like to play with abstractions in a way. And you know that in mathematics you have this nice way of going to an extreme position, starting with a regular one. So the zero concept, the null concept, of having nothing at all, is a very powerful concept in abstract terms. And so I said, well, starting with the idea of a regular podcast of 20 minutes or whatever, and you could go to the limit of, by varying the duration of the podcast. So you could have a 2-second podcast, a 1-second podcast, a 0.1 podcast, and then to the limit, you would have a zero-time episode, which would be completely void of anything, and that's an intriguing concept. It would be fully useless, and you know, but still, in abstract terms, it would have some value of its own, and you could probably write a philosophy book out of it.
we're already way past the limit, so we
exactly. So, how do you, for instance, it would generate some intriguing question? One you already posed. How would you time the duration of a zero time podcast? Because by the time you start clicking the timer, you already passed your limit. So that would be, as all things on the limit, it would be interesting. And, you know, you posted a very nice photo of a variation of the black hole photograph that we all saw with all yesterday. And I love the Looney Tunes thing on it. It was really a genius thing to do. And the black hole is more perhaps of a mental construction than a physical object. And because in physics it would be a singularity, so a thing that exists basically only on some extreme point that doesn't exist really in real life.
Wait, you tell me you don't believe in the black hole?
Of course I do. Of course.
Okay, just making sure. Well, the whole idea of taking a picture of something that
doesn't exist, it's beautiful,
doesn't emit, so the picture itself is, you know, somewhat of an inference, because it's I'm forgetting now, based upon, you know, some
countless calculations and mapping of calculations onto colors and pixels, etc., and assuming that the calculations make sense and they are right, quote unquote, then you end up with actually the horizon perimeter of the black hole, which, of course, you understand from physics, it sort of exists. And, you know, the idea of existence is very interesting in these extreme points in which they call the singularity for that. So you know what happens just up to some microseconds, nanoseconds before the singularity, but not actually at the singularity. And that's a very interesting thing to explore. To me, it's fascinating.
That's almost at the opposite end of you going to the zero podcast, right?
Exactly. That's the opposite end. It's a fascinating thing. I was in fact, I was reading a book about why the universe exists versus nothing existing at all, and it is a philosophical book by Nick Bostrom, and I love the book. And one of the things that came out of the book and about this discussion is that sometimes philosophers complicate life, and sometimes mathematicians too. For instance, the concept of nothing, the nothing, is a pretty much philosophical concept in that it may very well be that the nothing doesn't exist, which is a wonderful thing to say, yeah? You know, and I love this Heidegger's quote. I never read anything by Heidegger, but I love this quote that I took from the book that says, the nothing noths. And it's wonderful. I sought the translation in many languages, and it's beautiful how the translators invented a new word that this philosopher...
Wait, can you say that again? The nothing?
Noths, N-O-T-A-T-H-S.
Ah.
So, the nothing noths.
Okay.
And it's a wonderful, la nada nadea in Spanish. It's beautiful.
Oh, it sounds better in Spanish.
It sounds better, yes. I don't know the German original because I cannot speak German, but in Italian also it sounds very, very nice.
Say it in Italian.
Il nulla nulleggia.
As opposed to nothing nots, nothing.
Exactly. The nothing nots. It's you know, of course, my pronunciation doesn't give it the recognition it deserves. But it, to me, it's a momentous sentence, actually. And so, you know, the nothing, actually, perhaps, is not there. So the universe, even in its most void places, is not entirely void. And that's a very powerful thing, because we look for the nothing.
Yeah.
We have been searching and not finding it at all. So you see this all these beautiful, fantastic physics concepts about the origin of the universe, the Big Bang, etc. A mathematician has no problem at all saying that the universe starts at some time, because for him that's an abstract concept. Now we who live in a concrete world do have a problem imagining that there's nothing before the time, the zero moment, no? And still, they're very intriguing stuff, intriguing things to think about. And I'm not one of those who think that philosophy is useless. I actually think that it's very, very interesting and intriguing. And yes, sometimes it may even point us to the right direction, even though sometimes it helps us. It doesn't help us going to the right direction. Still, reasoning about stuff is a very important thing.
Yeah, I just when I saw that image, and I just felt like, there's so many things to think about, but I felt like this is going to be like remixed and played out. And I was actually looking for an idea to put into the like you have your daily photo that. Your students are starting to do. And so I run one for the network narratives class, and I was low on ideas. And it's just like, well, there's an idea. And so I made one, you know, I can't remember what I said about it. But then I think I saw already that people were like playing with like, it's the eye of Sauron. And so someone like, duplicated the image, and you put it together and it looks like eyes. And so actually, and then actually the little one that you saw, the GIF that I can't remember, it just like came out of somewhere, and I was going to in my list of blog posts I might do if ever I reach infinite time, and actually I already did the the poster for it. So now I'm stuck into it. But yeah, and actually the colors on that just matched. And so obviously we want to know, speculate, if we could get up close to this thing, what would we see? And you get very playful with that.
I like the way you're saying it, that as soon as the image came out, it inspired you to manipulate it. And that's very, very, how would you say, it fits you. And I would like to have had that thought myself, but I actually didn't. And I simply saw at the picture, it actually didn't tell me much. And now that you tell me the idea that you had, and we're talking about it, it actually is just one manipulation further from the manipulation that they already did with it, with the data that came out from observation. So that reminds me of a quote of Einstein, when he was shown a photo of actually the light deviating due to a gravitational field. He said, "I don't want to see the photo. I already know that the light deviates from its regular path under a gravitational field." And so that's it. What the photo of a black hole actually gives us is just mass media. Now, perhaps all the observational data that are coming from this black hole will be very interesting to analyze and observe further to extrapolate more information, and etc. But the photo itself is just it just I don't know. I cannot say just an image, because an image is something very powerful, but it doesn't actually provide us. I've seen a lot of sci-fi movies with black holes, and I read books on black holes, so I already, most of people have an idea of perhaps a wrong idea, but still they have an image in their mind of a black hole. I don't think the one that came out yesterday made us change the image we all had about a black hole, if we had one, of course. But see, maybe it's a nice thing to talk about these things.
Absolutely. And the story of the young scientist who gave credit for it, and the pictures of her being that was a beautiful moment and recognition. And of course she's being very clear about, like, no, this is the work of many people. It's been a distributed project. It's only made possible because we connect all these radio telescopes. I don't know if the one in Puerto Rico was one of the parts of the antenna.
I don't know. I don't think so. It was Germany, Chile, and a couple of others. I don't think Arecibo was part of it, unfortunately. But
But the idea of celebrating the collaborative aspect of the way it was produced. And so I can pretty much guarantee that that image is probably going to be the featured image on the post, especially since you started with this
All right.
zero podcast. It's kind of a, the zero. It's a, well, it looked like a zero. It could you one could
Yes.
infer
It's a
that.
singularity. The zero time podcast would be a singularity as well. So that's the nice thing. All image, and that the image of itself is also a zero. So a circle reminds us of a zero immediately. So that's another connection.
Although for us, the singularity happens as we approach 20 minutes, which we're about
Oh,
5 minutes away from, but we know that that rule doesn't really apply.
yeah, no, it applies or it doesn't, depending again on what, on quantum mechanics or whatever. So it's a beautiful metaphor everywhere. So, and you know, the beautiful thing here is the fact that there's a woman behind, or at least many women surely behind this effort. It's a distributed and orchestrated effort in plural terms, which is a beautiful thing to do in science and not science. And in the end, also, it allows us to talk a little bit about what is the difference between observing something with our own eyes or with an optical telescope with a lens, and versus observing it through layers and layers of abstractions and of computation. So that's something that I think is to be discussed. I'm not questioning, by the way, not at all, the validity of what they are showing us. Simply talking about what does it mean to observe something, let's say directly. We know that even direct observation is not direct at all, because it passes through nerve, optical nerves, cornea and retina and all the bunch of neurons that process it in a way or the other. But still, we figure out it to be a direct observation. And what is the difference between the two? It's, so it's nice thinking. I cannot avoid think about this thinking.
And actually, I just, while you were talking there, I said, I'm looking at my Skype screen and seeing your photo of your icon, and said, maybe Antonio's image will appear inside the circle of the black hole image, which doesn't really represent the black, which does represent the black hole, of course. And the black hole, you know, represents like what happens when we start a podcast without having a strict plan, and we fall into the place where time doesn't escape.
Exactly. And I find it very, very nice and intriguing, the fact that somehow after a little bit of a nice conversation between the two of us, it came almost natural that you sort of jumped into the black hole thing, and that we actually had already a 20-minute conversation on nothing, and that's beautiful in itself. So
yeah,
it's very, very nice indeed. So I would just say, perhaps before closing, to tell our one or two or zero listeners, what are we going to do with the podcast itself, and that likely we will have another episode coming out, say, in May, and that we will be using some sort of link, bookmarking, social bookmarking thing to put in a virtual blackboard our thoughts to discuss, and I don't know, perhaps doing a wiki or a Google document to make a few paragraphs worth of what we were saying.
In the oh podcast. Wait, come on, we have zero plans, right?
Exactly.
As happens, usually we start getting around to another episode every several months through an email where one of us realizes we haven't done one for a while. And so it kind of happened again, but I think we've kind of molded into one idea. And then, I mean, one piece is that I'll get a chance to visit your class later this month. And so...
Yeah.
We can think about possibly either that class or later, we can involve that recording into the podcast or not, or refer to it.
Yes, that would be a good idea. And and we will be recording it, so it could very well be incorporated into the next episode.
Yeah.
Or do an episode on itself.
Yeah.
So that would be great, actually.
But we have some grand ambitions of
grand.
maybe trying to up our frequency to a monthly, which is a grand plan. And so
Yes,
we
yes.
can aspire to those grand plans. But we kind of back and forth, and we have a system now. We have a tag
Yeah.
of because we both firmly believe in the usefulness and power of social bookmarking. And
Indeed.
so we've started, and since we actually generally use different platforms, but we have a way to make them coalesce. I use Pinboard and you use Digo. The idea was that we might just start bookmarking sites that we could talk about. And so I thought maybe, like, as I am tagging things with our secret tag, PRCon, for Puerto Rico Connection, I could be tagging things of that as I'm doing of interest. And so, but you could talk about the ones that I've tagged, and I could talk about the ones that you've tagged,
That's nice.
possibly as a way. And then we can, of course, syndicate those in. And I did a little bit of experimenting and got working an if this then that recipe, which means that I can stuff I'm bookmarking in Pinboard, I can actually have show up in Digo as now. And then you've found out what I didn't know was possible, is that we can have sort of a way to see everything tagged the same in Digo. I thought they had taken that away, and you said no, they haven't. It's there. So we can think about that as the future way that we talk about some things of interest.
Oh yeah, indeed, and it seems a nice way to do it, indeed. So in the end, we can grab a feed from both tag from both sides and push it into a web page also. And it would be nice if we could be able to comment on that page, but that's another story. At least for a couple of episodes in the future.
No, that could happen. I think we did something like that for one of the classes that you were on. Oh, we did it with Hypothesis, and so we brought them into a web
Yeah,
page. But of course, you can comment on that. I mean, you could get really crazy and have a second tag for each episode that would show up on the page, but that's way too much work.
probably, but at least. Perhaps it can be done with the feed itself, and then with the hypothesis we can add comments, and it would be too complicated to do the commenting while the podcast is being generated, but afterwards perhaps it could be easy to add comments and perhaps to edit the page itself and to add text on the page after each feed item. For instance, I use this system to publish sometimes the items that I recommend and that I tag with a special tag in Ego, and they end up with a machinery similar to the if this and that. They end up in as drafts in my blog, then I edit the draft, and so I can add stuff, and we could do that as a form of doing a summary of our own poll or our own episode, and then add on top of that the hypothesis commenting system. That could be interesting.
Dream big, Antonio.
Yeah, I will dream during the week and see if Easter week brings me some light.
But I'm looking right now, so technically this is episode 9 that we're
Great.
recording now. So we could have an episode specific tag along with our regular tags. that we could, that would actually be a nifty way to sort of, I mean, we talked about the odious labor of doing a blog post for our podcast. And so if we had, I mean, I think we should keep the general PRCon tag. But we could have like a PRCon 10 tag for a future episode. And then that way the post could just pull in
Exactly.
Ones we've kind of tagged for that episode. Would that work? Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
That would work. So you mean using only that tag or using it as a double?
I think a second tag.
Second tag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, you can't have too many tags, can you?
Yeah.
Oh, you can?
Well, you can, but you would end up a bit confused probably in the next future. So it's better to keep things simple.
Yeah. Well, we could always embed the whatever the current tags is. Of course, it'll change, you know, over time.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, the system that I use would allow for that. It actually, I remember now, it's a Diego feature. You give to the Diego machinery the address and the credentials for your blogging system, and then it will post automatically whatever links you submitted that have a special tag. So, for instance, I use the Delicious tag into that, so I weekly have a collection of interesting links that I can publish in the blog. Now, more often than not, I forget about editing the draft version of the post. So unevenly, I get a few posts, and then I merge them together, and I edit them, and then I publish them. So we could do something like that, but more regularly at the end of every episode. We could have the automatic extraction of the information from the ego and get that into the blog. And then with the hypothesis, we could add comments on that. So that would be the simpler way, perhaps, to do this. It would be very simple. And your links are getting into the ego already, so that would be simple to make.
So I see what you're saying. So there could be like a follow-up post to a podcast that has relevant links.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we can use that post, perhaps, as the publishing tool for the podcast, for the episode itself, or an extra post. I don't know. That has to be analyzed.
Yeah.
But and either way could be a good way to continue.
Okay. So your homework then, Antonio, I'm giving you, is to sort of come up with a way to do this.
Okay.
And suggest it. And so, yeah, that could work too.
All right. I will do that, and so we'll meet. I also will explore the way for us to best meet online on the 25th.
Yes.
Of April.
Yep.
And with my students, and that will be a nice encounter, I'm sure. So okay. I really look forward into it.
Okay. So I'll see you in the singularity. Okay.
See you in the singularity. Yes, my friend.
Okay.
Indeed.
Thank you very much. I'll stop recording, but always great talking to you, Antonio.
It is always great to talk to you too, Alan, and to the next one.